This is from Paralandra by C.S. Lewis. Save for the inorganic sound of waves, there was utter silence about him. The sense of his solitude became intense without becoming at all painful, only adding, as it were, a last touch of wildness to the unearthly pleasures that surrounded him. If he had any fear now, it was a faint apprehension that his reason might be in danger. There was something in Paralandra that might overload a human brain. Now he had come to a part of the wood where great globes of yellow fruit hung from the trees, clustered as toy balloons are clustered on the back of the balloon man, and about the same size. He picked one of them and turned it over and over. The rind was smooth and firm and seemed impossible to tear open. Then by accident one of his fingers punctured it and went through into coldness. After a moment's hesitation, he put the little aperture to his lips. He had meant to extract the smallest experimental sip, but the first taste put his caution all to flight. It was, of course, a taste, just as his thirst and hunger had been thirst and hunger. But then it was so different from every other taste that it seemed mere pedantry to call it a taste at all. It was like the discovery of a totally new genus of pleasures, something unheard of among men, out of all reckoning, beyond all covenant. For one draught of this on earth, wars would be fought and nations betrayed. It could not be classified. He could never tell us, when he came back to the world of men, whether it was sharp or sweet, savory or voluptuous, creamy or piercing. Not like that, was all he could ever say to such inquiries. As he let the empty gourd fall from his hand and was about to pluck a second one, it came into his head that he was now neither hungry nor thirsty. And yet, to repeat a pleasure so intense and almost so spiritual seemed an obvious thing to do. His reason, or what we commonly take to be reason in our own world, was all in favor of tasting this miracle again. The childlike innocence of fruit, the labors he had undergone, the uncertainty of the future all seemed to commend the action. Yet something seemed opposed to this reason. It is difficult to suppose that this opposition came from desire, for what desire would turn from so much deliciousness? But for whatever cause, it appeared to him better not to taste again. Perhaps the experience had been so complete that repetition would be a vulgarity, like asking to hear the same symphony twice in a day. As he stood pondering over this, and wondering how often in his life on earth he had reiterated pleasures not through desire, but in the teeth of desire, and in obedience to a spurious rationalism, he noticed that the light was changing. It was darker behind him than it had been. Ahead, the sky and sea shone through the wood with a changed intensity. To step out of the forest would have been a minute's work on earth. On this undulating island it took him longer, and when he finally emerged into the open, an extraordinary spectacle met his eyes. All day there had been no variation at any point in the golden roof to mark the sun's position, but now the whole of one half heaven revealed it. The orb itself remained invisible, but on the rim of the sea rested an arc of green so luminous that he could not look at it, and beyond that, spreading almost to the zenith, a great fan of color, like a peacock's tail. Looking over his shoulder, he saw the whole island ablaze with blue, and across it, and beyond it, even to the ends of the world, his own enormous shadow. The sea, far calmer now than he had yet seen it, smoked towards heaven in huge dolomites and elephants of blue and purple vapor, and a light wind full of sweetness lifted the hair on his forehead. The day was burning to death. Each moment the waters grew more level. Something not far removed from silence began to be felt. He sat down cross-legged on the edge of the island, the desolate lord, it seemed, of this solemnity. For the first time, it crossed his mind that he might have been sent to an uninhabited world, and the terror added, as it were, a razor edge to all that profusion of pleasure.